This is a podcast from BFM 89.9, The Business Station.
7:36, Friday, 19th of August, and thank you for staying tuned to The Morning Run. I'm Wong Xiaoning, together with Philip C. And as usual, after the 8 a.m. news bulletin, we're going to have a breakfast grill, but today is a rather special breakfast grill, isn't it?
It is, because I'm going to be speaking to Terry Leong. She's the CEO of World Vision Malaysia. They were established in 1997 here, so we're going to celebrate 25 years of making a big difference to children's lives all around the world. And I think we're going to ask Terry Leong, how has the fundraising program been? How are they making impact around the world, right, as they try and get more children out from their difficult lives?
And why we're choosing to speak to her today is because it is also in conjunction with World Humanitarian Day. And I think it's important to always take a step back and look at the good work that is really being done behind the scenes.
Absolutely.
So do tune in. That's going to be happening after the 8 a.m. news bulletin. But now we shift our attention to money, as usual, on BFM, which is the venture capital investments in this region. According to data analytics company Preqin, venture cap deal activity soared to a record $20 billion last year, which was 1.6 times an increase from 2020 and is twice as much as the growth in the rest of Asia.
Meanwhile, early stage investments in the region have been seeing strong growth, as the combined value of seed stage funding in 2021 was $436 million, which is more than double the value in 2020. However, the same growth is not observed in the valuation for later stage deals, as aggregate values in 2021 was only 5% higher than the year before. So with a recession looming around the corner, what is the outlook for venture cap activities in ASEAN, and how has the SPAC ship sailed?
Has it at all? Maybe it's still around. Has it sunk?
Still in the harbour.
Still in the harbour. For some answers, we speak to Cameron Joyce, Deputy Head of Research Insights at Preqin. Preqin recently released a report titled Preqin Territorial Guide ASEAN 2022. Good morning, Cameron. Now, so based on your report, which country in this Asia region is seeing the highest private equity and venture cap growth, and why?
Well, that's a good question. I mean, I think if you look at the activity that we see across the region, you know, across private equity and venture capital, most of the fund activity is still very much concentrated in Singapore. And to put that into some kind of context, we currently have, or we had 57 billion dollars worth of AUM, assets under management, as of September 2021 across the region. And 78% of that was for Singapore-based funds, with the remainder of that, a large portion of the remainder being assigned to Malaysia. So in terms of the fund activity, a lot of it tends to be Singapore-based. And even if you look at the deal-level activity as well, we've seen, you know, quite a high portion of deals being completed for Singapore-based companies. But of course, if you look at the operations of those companies, they are very much across the region. So we are seeing a lot of exposure across ASEAN. Indonesia, of course, is one market where we've seen a lot of activity. There was currently, as of last year, there was $20 billion worth of venture capital deals being completed, and $7.6 billion worth of that was in Indonesia. So that's quite a high portion of the total. But also, coming from a much lower base, we've started to see more activity from the Philippines and Vietnam in particular. I think Vietnam in particular is a really interesting market, because if you go back several years, there was really no venture capital market to speak of, but now we've got quite a vibrant venture capital ecosystem emerging there, and we've already started to see some unicorns come through in that market as well. So I think there's some of the key markets where we're seeing growth.
So Cameron, what sector is the money flowing into? You know, which one is seeing more growth?
Well, first of all, if we look at it in terms of the asset class breakdown, most of the activity has really been in venture capital. For private equity buyouts, we have seen some activity. We saw $4.7 billion worth of buyout deals being completed last year. But as I said, over $20 billion worth being completed in venture capital. So that's quite an unusual structure, because typically in private equity markets, we would expect buyout to be the largest category, followed by growth equity and then venture. But I think that the fact that that is reversed in ASEAN just really reflects the kind of innovation that's taking place in the economy. So within venture capital, the sectors where we're seeing the most activity, very much in technology. We saw 379 IT deals being completed last year for a total value of $6.7 billion. And so far this year in 2022, we've seen a lot of activity in software, financial services, internet, And I think one particular area of interest that we've seen a lot of activity is in digital payments. And the story behind that is obviously very, very clear. We have a large underbanked population across the region, and we see mobile phone and internet penetration increasing quite dramatically from a low base in recent years. So there's a lot of excitement about that space and a lot of unicorns emerging in the digital payment space. And of course, when you build a digital payments platform, there's always the ability to bolt on other services and create digital wallets or super apps.
Okay, Cameron, we have seen a flurry of tech titans such as Grab, Bukalapak, and Sea shift from private to public markets, but then also debut rather poorly, where the share price still languishes below IPO. Now, has this shifted the mindset of the investor from growth to profit, with now a focus on operational efficiencies?
It certainly has. And I think, obviously, the Grab IPO in particular was a bit of a watershed market moment for the market, because we have, as I said, several unicorns popping up across the region. The question really is always, how are these positions going to be exited? And, with the SPAC of Grab last year, that was a big moment for the market. And the fact that it has unfortunately not performed as well as people were hoping, that does raise some cause for concern, because it means that the outlook for future exits is not as attractive as it has been. So I think what will happen is that you'll start to see venture capital companies holding on to positions for longer. We think hold periods will be extended, and you'll see companies staying private for longer as a result of that, until we start to see better exit conditions. But the underlying growth of these companies is still very much intact. I mean, I think the revenue growth is still very much there. But as you say, there's clearly been a very significant shift away from growth at all costs to more profitable growth, which I think is a healthy move. And I think, the underlying reason for that is the fact that the cost of capital has now increased, and, investor appetite for loss-making tech companies is simply not as high as it has been.
So what's your outlook for the private equity space in the region moving forward? Where are the challenges from an investor perspective, as the landscape really seems to be fragmented, no?
In terms of the outlook, we are very positive on the region. We think the longer-term outlook is very attractive. There are some very clear structural growth drivers behind a lot of the growth that these portfolio companies are seeing across private equity and venture capital. And that's very much confirmed by our investor surveys. We have seen evidence more recently that shorter-term sentiment towards the market is a bit softer, but in the long-term, investor appetite is still very much there. I think as well, if you look at the composition of appetite within emerging markets, we have seen quite a noticeable shift away from the Greater China region. Relatively speaking, we've seen relatively less appetite for China. But on the plus side, we've seen more appetite for Southeast Asia and India in particular. And I think that's probably going to be a structural trend. I think with respect to the exit environment, as we mentioned, it's going to be a little bit more challenging, particularly now that the SPAC boom has pretty much come to an end, and that limits the options available to portfolio companies to exit. But also, I think the listing environment in the US is quite attractive for certain companies based in ASEAN. So overall, we're quite positive, and we think that the growth will continue in the long term. It's just that there will be some challenges, particularly with venture capital, given the macro environment we find ourselves in.
Now, SPACs were very hot last year, as they were a quicker way to debut. But what's the momentum been like in this space? Or is it safe to say that there's not much interest in SPACs anymore?
I think that's fair to say. If you go back to early 2021, of course, I think we saw something in the region of $100 billion worth of SPAC capital being raised in the US alone. That was a phenomenal amount of funds. And then, of course, the SEC stepped in then. They were a little bit concerned about the excesses in the market. So that really, I think that probably marked the peak of the SPAC boom. And I think because we have seen this higher cost of capital coming through into the markets, and also this risk-off sentiment from investors, that I don't think we can really rely on SPACs going forward as a you know, meaningful exit venue for Southeast Asia-based companies. So I think that fad has been and gone. But as I said, I think there's still certainly opportunities for unicorns based in the region to eventually list on US exchanges as well, which is just not necessarily through a SPAC structure.
Thank you for your time. That was Cameron Joyce, Deputy Head of Research Insights of the data analytics firm Prekin. Up next, we'll be speaking to YB Kasturipato, MP for Batu Kawan, on why automatic citizenship is not conferred to children born of Malaysian mothers, but of course, non-Malaysian fathers who are born overseas. Stay tuned for that. BFM 89.9.
You have been listening to a podcast from BFM 89.9, the business station. For more stories of the same kind, download the BFM app.